swap down to science. And thank you, Dwayne. And greetings to all of you. I am thankful that I'm here tonight and not last Sunday night. Our brother was so kind to have some good information to share with us. And that was supposed to be my time slot to be able to come up here and to preach to you. And I was going to share my experience at camp. And boy, I was tired. Adam knows, Rebecca knows, Susie, all of us here that I traveled to camp, it really wears you out. And not to say that I wouldn't have been prepared last Sunday night, but I was thankful not to have to keep the wheels turning and to be able to get a little bit of a reprieve. I'm grateful for the opportunities, though, all the opportunities that the Lord gives, and all those that are live streaming, hi, welcome as well. And again, I wanted to come today to be able to share with you some of the experiences that I personally had at camp, and be able to share them with you, because I truly feel that this was like one of the best camps that I've experienced personally. I tried to prepare through prayer and in processing the extent of the stay and all the work that goes into it. And you really kind of got to do that. You got to get yourself ready for it, because there's a lot of work when you're traveling and you're preparing and you have classes and you have little sleep. I'm sure many of us that have traveled throughout the world have done things like this, experienced that, those kind of emotions and struggles that you have within, and you really got to try to train yourself to stay focused and to have a good attitude. The Lord gives you that, and there's always a work to be done, and it really brought some excitement to me, because I was trying to show enthusiasm and give glory to God for all the experiences that we are capable of sharing and providing to help people that are just starting off in their journey, to be able to see and to take with them in their journey as well. And a lot of the times when I was talking to my classes, I said, you know, the information I'm trying to provide you is going to put you way ahead of the game. We're going to share some good experiences, some bad experiences, some testimonies, scriptures that will help you every step of your way. And if you really take these and you apply them to your life, you're going to have a lot of an advantage over the world and what it's going to try to bring into your life. And you'll be prepared for those things. And so, you know, some of the things that I always experience there is I always look for the opportunities, especially with those that are struggling, try to find their identity, who they are, try to help them in that, to encourage them, to lift them up. And there's a few that we encounter that, you know, you got to give a little bit of extra attention to. But, you know, that's our job, as the Lord calls us to do, is to edify those people, to plant that seed, to help them out. Let them know that relationship that they have with God can mean so much in their life, that showing of our love and our experience, how we're doing it to be able to make them strong, to encourage them, to give them the opportunities to see all the potentials that the Lord puts in front of you. There's so much potential that the Lord can give you to help change your life and to help you be able to see where you're going in your path, to give you clarity of where you're going and why you're going there. And that why you're going there is kind of how we started the whole camp at our Saturday. It was the CITs, the counselor, and the staff meeting. And, you know, that was a big question Bob put up on the screen, is why? Why are we doing this? And, you know, if you would ask me that question like 25 years ago, I would just scratch my head and say, I have absolutely no idea. And, you know, as time goes by, as you see all the work that you put into these things, and you see the graduates and what they're doing, you see the 12-year-olds go to 18-year-olds, it's really amazing. And it's really exciting to see the growth and the desire that a lot of these campers have to come back to be a part of something because we know that it's good. And so, you know, that was Bob's question. Why do we do this? And deep down inside, you know, I was thinking about that myself. And part of me is because the Lord has given me so much in my life that I'd like to share that with others, to give them things that they never thought they could have, to give them an understanding that there are people out there that care about them, that there's a God in heaven that cares about us, that He changes lives, that He gives us a reason to live, that He gives us this meaning, this value, and this purpose. And this was kind of my theme with the camp, was to let these individuals know, these growing individuals know, that they all have meaning, value, and purpose in this life. And it's important that we all know that. And I have said it before, and I'll say it again, that God instills this within us when we open up and we seek His counsel, when we look at Him for those things that can help us be able to grow, to change, to grow, cause us to become closer with Him. You know, that relationship is so important. And some of these young individuals, some of them don't have any relationships whatsoever. And you see them come there. You know, one of the first things that we do is we see these young adults come off the bus with, oh my goodness, what am I getting myself into, look on their face. They never experienced these things before. And I appreciate the fact that every individual that is a camper has to turn in their phone. It's a game changer. It makes a world of difference of what the camp is all about. Building that fellowship, growing in relationships, making new friends, establishing those things which truly are important for our spiritual life and our temporal life. You know, these things that we have that take us away from that interaction, it's unfortunate, but so fortunate that, you know, we as a church have this camp to be able to take those things away. And there's no struggle in that. It's just part of the way that we do the camp. And everybody submits their phone, and we go on with our day. And you see how things change, you know, from everybody. You know, you could go to any place, anytime, and everybody's going to be like this nowadays. Even in the movie theaters, you go like, you know, you go in the movie theater, and they're looking at their phone. Half the time, they're watching the movie. But at camp, you know, you pull these things away, and everybody just, you know, it's a little awkward at first, but then people start interacting. You know, we have the icebreaker, which is really good to kind of get people together, to work together, and be able to establish, open up a little bit right there at the get-go. And it's just really neat because the older campers, they have a lot of impact on the younger campers. And those CITs that come in, this was Logan's first year of being a CIT. It's really neat to see the encouragement from somebody that's gone from start to finish and be able to interact from the oldest to the youngest with all these individuals that are there. It makes a huge difference. And so, you know, that's where we all have an opportunity to be able to do something for the Lord. And we could take those instances, and I could share them. I do when I go to work. First thing when I get back to work, people are like, well, how did that go? You know, thinking I'm going to lose all my hair and, you know, and be completely stressed out. And I told them it's tiring, but it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding to see, especially we have this super awesome, like, awards ceremony at the very end. And just to see the smiles on these outlandish, comical awards for everything you could think of under the sun. And the kids just love it. I call them kids. They're not kids no more. But they just love it, and they eat it up, and it really lifts them up. And, you know, they're getting that acknowledgement of being someone, you know, going the extra mile, doing the extra thing, things that typically in life, you know, the competition that we deal with, that they probably wouldn't be able to receive recognition for. And it's really neat to be able to see them smile, get embarrassed, you know, get the round of applause, and to be able to take away something. You know, it's a tiny little thing with hardly any monetary value, but inside is where they've taken something with them. You know, they established these relationships, this gratification, and you see that, you know, they were excited to be there, and it's almost sad to see it come to an end. But at the same time, you know, one of the things is when they leave there, we want them to go into life knowing that they have this meaning, value, and purpose. And God gives us meaning. He gives meaning to everybody. And in Psalms 34, 17 through 20 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save the such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." And so everyone is significant in God's eyes. You know, we have this opportunity to cry out to him. You know, "Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I've been through this situation. My heart is broken. I don't know what to do." And this is where the Lord lifts us up. You know, all these things that can tie us down, the Lord takes those and he untangles them. All those things that cause us to be bound down, he takes those and he releases them. And that's because we're significant to him. We just have to have the realization that to know that he is there. And if we take the action in our lives to start trying, to start doing the right thing, to start seeing others around us that are working towards the same goal, to walk after them, to listen to them, to be encouraged by them, God sees those things in us. And that's where we have meaning as the children of God, is to be able to show the significant change that God does in our lives. And us, in our job, through this meaning that we have, is portraying the love that Christ gave to us. You know, it's the kindness, the humility, and all the righteousness that he showed as he was walking with his apostles and with his disciples. You know, those things that he was teaching, those things that he was showing, being an example of, that's what God wants us to do. That's the meaning that we have. That's the importance that we have. And we do that. We contribute those things that we've learned, that God has blessed us with in our lives, to our fellow beings, to all those that are around us. We live this life of virtue that God has created for us to be able to have as a foundation. And, you know, there's a part of us that, you know, at times we struggle with that. You know, sometimes we think about ourselves, and it could be a difficult situation, especially when you're around those that are looking up to you and that are easily influenced. They look at our actions, our reactions, our temper. They look at that. They look for our patience to see how we react in certain situations, especially under high stress. And we have this responsibility within us that, you know, we reflect on ourselves, we see what's going on in our lives, and we take that and we compare it to the life that Christ showed us, how we should live, the values that we put in it, the value that we have in him, and sharing that with others, letting people know that they have value and that God sees them as valuable. And one of the things that, you know, when things were happening in a camp, I appreciate we use this at work as well. We actually have an app for it at work at the airport. It's called See Something, Say Something. So we have an app where you report it if there's something going on and or out of place. And so this is one of the things that we do at camp. You see it, you own it. You see something, you say something, because one of the things that we try to encourage is that people take ownership. You know, if there's something that's not right, you know, and you see it, own it. You know, don't pawn it off on somebody else. Don't make it somebody else's responsibility. If it takes other individuals to handle a situation, bring them in. And I thank Bob and Liza for that, because, you know, it's important that even our young people learn accountability, and there's a value in that. It helps us be able to understand that the morals and the ethics that God gives us, those values, are truly something that can be established in us, no matter what our background is. And we have individuals from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different countries, and they're intermingling. And as you can imagine, things can get out of control. But this year, it seemed like it was pretty reasonable as far as not having to deal with issues, because the standards were set. And I know that God sets these standards in our lives to have that ability to know these are the values, these are the morals that you should have and that you should abide by. This is what makes you have that foundation which is necessary to establish that eternal life in God's kingdom. And so, you know, he takes value in all of us, what we're doing, when we're doing it, and why we're doing it. And I think that accountability is important for us to remember that, you know, in all these situations that God puts us in, to show the value of applying God's teaching, Christ, the teachings of Christ in our lives. And so, us having value, you know, there's not a single individual that wasn't accounted for at that camp. And one of the things that I was signing up for every day and that I appreciated was that there's a sign-up sheet for all these different responsibilities for the staff and for the counselors and the CITs. And basically, first thing in the morning, you sign up in, you can work the canteen, you can monitor the pool. I like to walk the perimeter. That's one thing that I really appreciate. And what we're doing is making sure that there's somebody somewhere on the premises at all times keeping an eye on things. Whether you're tending to the needs of the campers, if they'd like a refreshment or a snack, or whether, like for me, it was walk the perimeter to make sure that there was nobody that was wandering off. And so God sees us as that as well. You know, he's always watching us. He's watching over us, and he has us in his sights. And it says here in Romans 18, 11 through 14, "For the Son of Man is to come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And I'm not sure if that's Romans 18, 11 through 14, but I appreciate these verses because, you know, this is, God hears us, he knows us, and he sees where we're at all times in our lives, whether we're in difficult situations and where we're at in our journey. And this is really what ties us to God is, you know, no matter where we're at, we're reaching out to him. We had some campfires, and I saw the value in that and the testimonies that were given at the campfires. We have a serious campfire on Thursday night, but we also have a campfire every night, and it's, the majority of it is fun. And towards the end of the campfire, there's an opportunity for someone to speak, to share testimony, and to share experiences. And one of them that really stood out to me was, and he was awesome at the camp, was Jose Kroll. It was really cool to see, to hear, and to listen to his testimony at the campfire. Some of the struggles that he's had in life, very, very difficult for him. And he was willing to open up in front of all these campers to share how difficult his life was, but when he gave it over to God, how it changed him. And even through that changing experience that he still had struggles. He still was tempted, and the Lord reached out to him and touched him. And really, it was a very impactful testimony that he gave about his personal situation that he wanted to share with all this youth to help them in their lives to see the goodness and the love and the care and the value that we have in God's eyes. How important that is. You know, it could be so challenging to put down your wall and to share the struggles that you have, but really when you see the opportunity that you have in front of these young ones and what it can do, you know, what a life-changing experience for them it can be, because I think and I know that God draws people in from everywhere to be in places gathered together for a certain reason, and it's to be able to share, to grow, to understand, and to learn of all the struggles of life. I know it can seem good and glamorous for a lot of people how life is, but we all go through struggles. We all go through these challenges. Some of them, it's dealing with psychological issues. Some of them, it's issues with substance abuse. It could be abuse in relationships. It could be all kinds of things. But really, it was uplifting to see the difficulty that somebody was going through, the dark places that somebody has been in, and to stand there in front of all these young adults and to share that, because they didn't want to see them go to the same place. That he wanted to give them the advice that they needed to be able to stay away from that, to avoid those situations. One of the other things, you know, we have the Thursday night is the serious campfire, and there was really, it was a good Thursday night serious campfire, and basically that is for the entire campfire, is for the youth, those campers that are attending there. And there's one individual there that I really didn't know all that well, but after one of the campfires where I spoke, he came up to me, and we had very similar things in common. And I believe it's Susie's cousin, Owen Case. He lives over there in St. Joseph. And it was really interesting to talk to him. He was telling me about, and he shared his testimony at the Sirius campfire. He was a mountain biker, a very good one from what I understand. And he was even wearing the same shoes that I wear. I was looking at him and I was like, boy, we got a lot in common. But he gave a testimony about, they have this trail system in St. Joseph. It's right by the camp. And I never even knew about it. And he was telling me about it, and that it's like this serious mountain bike trail where like the Red Bull team goes and they practice there, and is these really big jumps. And he broke his leg, his chain broke, and he lost control of his bike, and he was up in the air, and he came down, and he broke his leg really bad. And there was nobody else out there. And he was saying that it was really, in all seriousness, it was actually funny, because when he was giving his testimony, he was saying that he had to call his dad, because he was basically laying on the ground completely incapable of going anywhere. And so he called his dad and said, hey, you're going to have to pick me up. I'm stuck out here on this mountain bike trail. And he had to call his dad back because he forgot to tell his dad that he broke his leg. And we really got a kick out of that. But when they got there, they had to air vac him to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, because his leg was really broken, it was almost popping through his skin, and they said that it was a matter of millimeters or millimeters that if it would have hit, it could have hit a major artery and he would have bled out there because he was all by himself. So he was standing and giving thanks to God for him being able to recover from that, fully recover. He's back on his bike and doing what he loves to do. But, you know, in this situation where you have him standing up and glorifying God, having the courage to do that, because, you know, it's especially with the younger group, it's difficult for them to stand up and to have nervousness to be able to share their testimony. And, you know, it was really neat because a lot of them started doing that. And that's what it's all about, is taking those first steps, you know, opening yourself up. Even though that you're shaking on the inside and you don't have a complete clarity of thought, that you just do it. You take that leap of faith, that you put yourself out there because the Spirit is leading you to do so. And you could see that in a lot of the testimonies that were being given that night. And so, you know, that's something that teaches others that, hey, if he can do it, I can do it, you know? And if this is something that grows, it could grow exponentially. It could give all those individuals there that are quiet, that keep them themselves, the ability to know that, hey, I can say something that is good, share it with others, and feel good about it and glorify God at the same time. It was a really neat experience. And in, you know, in all of this, there's that establishment of God's Spirit within us and how it establishes the morals. And I know that we, as individuals, as pillars in the community and within our workplaces, within our schools, you know, we're pillars for God. And we stand up and we take accountability for those things that are right. And I encourage you to consider that and to keep doing that. You know, have this moral accountability. Be bold with it. Share it with others. And in the end, you know, it says in Romans 14, 11, and 12, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And I look at that and I think about that, and that's being that example. And showing by example the moral accountability that we have, doing things and standing up for the truth. Taking the foundation, you can start off by teaching somebody about the Ten Commandments. You could start off, if you haven't even gotten started in your journey with Christ, start off with the Ten Commandments and go from there. And it'll start growing inside of you. And if you start establishing these things, you'll start seeing the way that you interact with others is going to be different. The way that you perceive a situation, a relationship, a stressful situation, a presentation at work, giving a testimony, it's going to be different because you know within yourself that God is going to take care of you, that you're developing these ethics and having that moral accountability. And it goes back to see something, say something. And, you know, it just comes naturally at camp where there's pranks, right? And we've seen a lot of pranks. We still hear of a lot of pranks. And it impacts people. It impacts people quite a bit. I was talking to an individual about a jungle gym that was put on a roof that showed up at camp that said, well, I'm not allowed at camp anymore because I put the jungle gym on the roof. And, you know, that was from years ago. And I was like, you can't use that as an excuse anymore. That is long in the past. And so hopefully that brother will, I told him, I said, you need to put on one of these t-shirts, it was our camp shirt, and be here next year. So, you know, it's an encouragement that those things that have happened in the past, you know, we could still take accountability for that. And there was one situation at camp this year where all the men had to get rounded up and we had to go to the tabernacle. Well, the pranks got a little bit out of control and some personal belongings were taken out of somebody's cabin. And so, you know, we had to have a little bit of a conversation in the tabernacle with all the guys. And I was truly impressed because the individuals that handled the situation handled it rather well and asked the individuals that they were to be accountable for that which was missing. And I'm sure it was all done out of fun and games, but it took courage for these few young men to stand up among all of the men and to go and get the personal belongings and bring them back to the individual that they took them from. And they did that. And after the fact, after it was all done, we went to dinner that night. And, you know, I personally went up to the individuals and said, hey, you know, that took a little bit of courage for you guys to be able to do that in front of everybody. That could have been a really bad situation, but thank you for doing that. You did the right thing. You know, I gave them an attaboy because that's could be challenging and with all eyes on you standing there and doing the right thing. But they took that moral accountability, and I appreciated that. And, you know, there's situations, even in my place of business, even as the supervisor, you know, I had to do it just this last week and say, well, I'm accountable for that. That was mine. I own it. But, you know, if we do take that accountability and you're trying to do the right thing, people see that and they help you be able to get things back on track. And so it's I believe, a way that you learn and you grow and the Lord teaches you. And one of the things that when you do show that, if something happens again, then people know that you are going to do the right thing. Leadership knows that they can entrust things in you. And that's where God, I believe, with his word, puts that, instills that within us, is that people know that we speak the truth, that we're trying to do the right thing. You know, we'll fall short from time to time, but having that accountability really stands out when it's needed. And so the purpose, you know, this whole purpose of this life, I believe, and I wanted to share Proverbs 20:18, every purpose is established by counsel. This is the counsel that we receive from the Lord. And you know, all of us have a purpose one way or another. We have our purposes in life to provide. We go to a job, there's a purpose for that. We eat, there's a purpose for that. We have to earn money, there's a purpose for that. But, you know, these spiritual purposes is what I'm trying to get at here. And a lot of times we kind of lose track of that because of all the responsibilities and purposes that we have in our daily life. But one of these things here I started thinking and asking myself is, do we reflect on our lives and see God's purpose? Have we had purpose, you know? Can we look back, you know, halfway through my life now, can I look back and say, okay, I can see what God's purpose was in my life? You know, what is he trying to have me do in the end? You know, do we look back in our entire life and see what God has given us as a purpose? And do we share that with others? And if we're young and we're just getting started out, which I wish sometimes I was, are we seeking what our purpose is? And that's where, you know, the intention, I believe, that as we come together with these campers is to help them be able to see that they have a purpose. God has given them a purpose in their life. And I see that like with a lot of the talents. We actually had Chris Moran did a wonderful job with NDA Vogel, and it was, and Anna Case. It was kind of like they orchestrated this ensemble of random musicians out of the camp, and they put together this concert on Thursday afternoon, and it was really something. Like, it was, I felt like we almost needed to buy tickets to it. But you know, the intention of Chris, he had a jam session. It was basically one of the fun classes where people got together, and it seemed like it just grew and grew and grew, and it turned into this. But you know, I think there was a purpose to that, because man, it brought everybody in the camp together in the tabernacle, and they put on they demonstrated the talents and the gifts that God gave them, and the just the reaction of everybody there was something to be seen and heard. It was really fantastic. And you know, this is something that Chris put a lot of work into it. He was in, we call it the bullpen, where the ministry stays, the old guys and some of the counselors, and he was putting a lot of work into this. But you know, this labor that he was doing really brought fruit forth to the whole camp, to the Lord, and everybody enjoyed it. So just these purposes that we have is to show that, you know, even if you got the littlest talent, that it can, when you combine that with others and you bring it all together for good intention, it can really manifest into something really neat. And a lot of times we don't understand what our purpose is, especially if we're young and getting started in life. But that's one of the things that we try to do at the camp, is to show people, the young individuals, that they do have a purpose, and that these things that they can provide for others through their spiritual gifts, through their spiritual talents, that it's uplifting and it edifies others. But you know, even I wanted to give an example here, even in Nephi, when he was putting together the plates. And he says here in 1 Nephi chapter 2, he's a young man, 94 to 102, "For the plates upon which I make full account of my people, I have given the name of Nephi, wherefore they are called the plates of Nephi, after my own name. And these plates are also called the plates of Nephi. Nevertheless, I have received a commandment of the Lord that I should make these plates for the special purpose that there should be an account engraven of the ministry of my people. Upon the other plates should be engraven an account of the reign of the kings and the wars and contentions of my people. Wherefore, these plates are for the most part of the ministry, and the other plates are for the more part of the reign of the kings and the wars and contentions of my people. Wherefore, the Lord hath commanded me to make these plates for a wise purpose in him, which purpose I know not. But the Lord knoweth all things from the beginning. Wherefore, he prepareth a way to accomplish all his works among the children of men. For behold, he hath all power unto the fulfilling of all his words. And thus it is. Amen." And you know, just like with Nephi, sometimes the Lord's purpose isn't always clear. And I think about that. And I think about, you know, we're traveling down these dark roads. On our way home, you know, we were worn out, we worked hard, and sometimes when you're in the middle of the night and you're in the middle of nowhere, you got truck drivers and travelers on the roads, and especially in New Mexico, you can see for miles and miles and miles. You kind of know which way you're going to be going, straight and for a long time. But as you get closer to like Albuquerque, you start climbing up those mountains right there, and the road starts winding in the middle of the night, and there's no lights or nothing. And you don't know what's around the next turn. You know, they have the deer signs up, watch for deer and all that stuff, and you don't know. You can only see what's right in front of you. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows what's around the next bend. He knows what you're going to need to do. And that's one of those things that We put our faith and we leave our anxiety, our fear of the unknown. We leave all that in God's hands, and He takes that and He cares for us. It's an opportunity, and the purpose of it is to exercise our faith. It's to show that, you know, if we don't know what's going to happen, that we ask the Lord to help us to be able to see the way. And that's our leap of faith that we take, that we know that in our purpose in this world, that, you know, we're not going to know exactly what step to take every single day. We're not going to know exactly what to say every single time. But we know that God gives those words to speak when we stand in need. God shows us the way when we lift our prayers unto Him. That's part of the journey in our life, to be able to understand that our purpose will be shown to us in God's way, in God's due time. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, it says, "Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath proposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." I looked up that word to "wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence." That abounded is to possess in great quantity, to be copiously supplied, and that's in the Webster's 1828. And so, you know, if we seek His counsel, He's going to give this to us in according to His own will. You know, when it's ready for us, when we're willing, when He sees it's going to do us right in due time. And this is, I look at, you know, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, this is the big picture. You know, this is where everything comes back together. And what's our job? What's our purpose through this time in which we have been given now? It's to press forward. It's to keep working. It's to keep doing those things that God shows us needs to be done. And there's always something. And so that is where we need to focus and to be trying again and again, even if we're stumbling. You know, there's something to be said about stumbling and falling, but getting back up and trying again. Riding a mountain bike, you know, there's a lot of times where I've fallen. I've seen people fall, but, you know, I love the mentality of, okay, well, that happened, and whatever I got to do to make that not happen again, I'm going to stay focused on the trail a little bit more. I'm going to learn in the turn that I don't apply too much forward pressure on my front tire to slide out. Whatever the case may be, it's that trying again and again. And that's the mentality we should have in our spiritual minds. So to be spiritually minded. And in Romans 8, 5 through 7, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." You know, if you let this world tear you down, it'll tear you down quick. It could really pull you under when you're trying to stay afloat, especially. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." And so, you know, this is some of the things that we try to instill, is to think about how God works within your heart and works within your mind, to positively influence these individuals, to help them be able to see that they're significant in God's eyes, and to promote those values that God instills within us. And again, you know, we go through and do the awards at the end of camp. And there was one individual, it is Ewan Breyer, that's Melanie Breyer's son, and Brandon is his father. We've got to bring him to the camp this year. And from day one to the end day, it was, I'm telling you, it was a life-changing experience to see this young individual. A lot of individuals have that change in their lives. And one of the things, meaning, value, and purpose, you know, that's one of the things that I was trying to instill people that, you know, in this world in which we live, there's most valuable players, right? You have the World Series, you have the NBA Finals, you have the Super Bowl, and one person gets that MVP award. And in God's eyes, all the individuals that are his children are valuable and most valuable. And being able to see this young man, Ewan, I remember the last time I saw him. I think he was like 4 or 5 years. He was a tiny little guy, 4 or 5 years old. And Melanie and them moved up to Washington, and this was his first year at camp. And, you know, he was one of those individuals that was kind of struggling, you know, lack of sleep, emotions, all those things were going on. But in the end, man, he was volunteering for everything, and he was in it to win it and establish good friendships with people. And we had the award ceremony, and he got the Rookie of the Year award. So he got, like, you know, it's like a little plastic medallion thing with the strap on it, red, white, and blue strap. And I kid you not that, so we had Friday, we had to do all the cleanup and all that, and then we had the awards ceremony, and then we had to, you know, we were packing up and all this stuff and having the leftover potluck lunch, and he got that award, and he wore it the whole way home. He wore it all the way home. His dad showed up at our door, and he was still wearing it. And, you know, if that seed that God intended to be planted into people was planted into his life, and we see that grow, amazing. It's amazing with what God can do, and the smiles that it brought, the opportunity for new relationships, new friends. It's just really neat to see how God in his body of the church does things and makes people have joy and have peace and be able to know that there is a greater good in following after the truth, embedding those ethics, those morals, those standards, in knowing our purpose and the why God has put us here at this time. And I think it's very uplifting to me. I hope it's uplifting to you. No matter what age you are, keep encouraging people to be able to see of all the good things. And there's so much good camaraderie that goes on with all that. It's a wonderful experience. And if God gives you an opportunity to be able to do something similar to that or that, I strongly encourage you to let God lead you down that path. Even though you might not know what's around the corner, put it in God's hands, and he'll take you where you need to go. So that's what I have for you, and thank you for letting me share that with you all tonight. I appreciate it, and God bless.